There's a conference happening up in Bellingham, the Bellingham Summer Philosophy Conference. Organizers have created an informal Be Nice rule that's aimed at changing the traditional macho culture in many academic philosophy departments. The conference follows the resignation of Colin McGinn, a famous philosophy professor who taught at the University of Miami. McGinn had been accused of sexual harassment, and the case has sparked debate about sexism in philosophy departments. Critics say that gender bias and sexual harassment are relatively common in philosophy compared to other humanities departments. For one perspective, we turn to Sarah Gehring. She's a professor of philosophy and the graduate program director at the University of Washington. Feminist philosophy is one area of her expertise. Sarah, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I noticed in philosophy departments nationwide, women make up less than 20% of university faculty members. That is lower than any other humanities field. Does the fact that only one in five philosophy faculty members are women show that there's sexism afoot?
Well, you might think so. It certainly seems to be a problem that needs to be addressed. I think one of the likely things is that it's not always explicit sexism of the form that we saw in the McGinn case, or at least from what I've read about that. It's often much more unintentional, but I think philosophy has been slow to recognize things like implicit bias and realize ways that we might work to combat that sort of effect.
Does the University of Washington have more than one in five faculty members who are women?
We do. In fact, I think of the research or PhD granting programs around the country, we're ranked number three, perhaps, for having percentage of women faculty. I believe we're right around 45% right now.
Now, the dismissal of Colin McGinn at the University of Miami was a front-page story in the New York Times. Are philosophers talking about this case?
They certainly are, yes. I mean, it's a thing that we've talked about well before the McGinn case came out, just recognizing the statistics that are true right across the nation in terms of the representation of women in philosophy. And a lot of women philosophers and men, right, allies, have been trying to figure out what to do about that and where the drop-off is happening and why, you know, what we might do to change the culture of the way philosophy is done here.
And there's a blog where women who work in academic philosophy are kind of sharing their stories about gender bias. What are some examples of the kind of things that are being talked about?
So the blog is called What It's Like to Be a Woman in Philosophy, and there are really jarring stories there. They're all posted anonymously, so people are willing to say things. You know, they might worry about damage to their careers otherwise, but it's, you know, they're propositioned by faculty members or they're explicitly not included in conversations about a topic that they are experts on just because they're women, or they make a point in a grad seminar. 5 minutes later, it's ignored. 5 minutes later, a man makes the very same point and everyone picks it up. You know, it's sort of an ongoing invisibility of women or denigration of women.
Sarah Gehring is my guest. She's a professor of philosophy at the University of Washington. Now, this conference up in Bellingham, the Summer Philosophy Conference, the organizers have, I understand, created an informal Be Nice rule. And why is it important for them to do that? Isn't the kind of hurly-burly of philosophical debate important to advancing knowledge?
Well, I don't think so. And it's always funny, I think, for outsiders to think you have to have an actual rule that says be nice. You know, wouldn't that be implied? But the norm really at many APA meetings and regular philosophy conferences really is it's a thing that rewards quick thinking and sparring, and we use the language of war, right? I'll destroy your argument, and it just rewards that kind of thing. And so I think the be nice rule is really a way to say, let's work on getting answers to these really important and difficult questions together rather than thinking it's about winning a debate.
Now, some might say, well, it's quick thinking and sparring that really hones the mind and increases intelligence. You don't agree?
I don't. I think it's fun. You know, I am a philosopher. I like doing that. But I think you can have brilliant minds that don't think at that particular rate, or they want to think through something before they throw it out there. And so they might take away something from a class or a conference, think through it, and then come back and enter the debate. And often, at least in my view, those responses are very interesting, right? They might be more interesting than the one that's just thrown up really quickly in the heat of the debate.
How common is it that a philosophy conference will have a be nice rule?
Uncommon, I would say. Although I've been part of the Society for Women in Philosophy and other feminist philosophy organizations that certainly, if we don't have that as an explicit rule, it's an expectation that we're going to try to mentor young people coming up in philosophy and try to help them with their work constructively rather than trying to crush them.
Sarah, you mentioned that the sexism we see in philosophy departments might be different than what we've seen in early eras, but do women put their careers at risk when they speak honestly about the problems, say when they post to that blog or they speak up and talk to people in their department?
Well, certainly not posting to the blog because they're doing it anonymously. But I do worry for women who speak up within departments where this is an ongoing problem because, of course, their superiors are the ones who are going to grant them tenure or not, or their professors are the ones who will decide if their project is acceptable for a dissertation and all that sort of thing. So I think it's important to have allies on the faculty, people where they can go and talk confidentially and try to figure out ways to work through their problems.
Sarah Gehring, professor of philosophy at the University of Washington. Thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thanks for having me.